Y'all know we're living in the last days. Jesus is coming back. Y'all ready? You got your oil? In his word, it says, in the book of Acts, Peter gets up and he makes this bold proclamation, this prophecy that he says, in the last days that God will pour out his spirit on all flesh. There's not going to be one that's going to be untouched. It says on all flesh. It's whether or not people want to yield to that or not. Amen. Now we know that no man knows when Jesus will actually come back. But when he comes back, rest assured, it will be in God's timing. It will be in God's timing. God is never late. He is always on time. Have you ever prayed about something and you just, Lord, it's taking too long. How come this hasn't happened yet? It's always in his timing. It's based upon our faith, but he's never late. We may wonder now, but the reality of it is, it's in his timing. It's when it's orchestrated. It's when he has set it out for us. So when we pray, I don't believe there's ever been a prayer, and I said this before, I don't think God has ever told me no in prayer according to his word. When I pray according to his will, he's never told me no. If I pray it according to my desires, yes, he has. So it's important for us not to get our desires mixed up with his promises, because we may not get it and receive it the way we want to, because he knows what we'll do if we actually get it. There's this one time when I talk about with TJ, when I was, the Lord had, I was getting ready to go talk to the coach and stuff like that, and it was after the season, and they already let him go. I mean, you know, they asked him, you know, he ended up resigning, and the Lord said, you're done too. I never asked, but he told me that in my spirit. So as I'm sitting there, and he's talking, and I'm talking with the new coach as well in his classroom. He goes, you know, coach, he was trying to vouch for me for the new coach and saying, you know, he's a good man. He does stats well and all that other stuff. He's trying to speak well of me. I said, coach, if you're done, I'm done. And the new coach was like, hey, man, you know, you could be on our staff if you want. I said, no, can't do it. Why? The Lord already told me no. I can't. If he's done, I'm done. Athletic director was trying to get me to go. I was like, you know, I could have just milked it and be like, you know what? Nobody will know. And that was one of my desires, but the Lord said no. And I even told him I had to stick with it. I can't do it. I appreciate the opportunity, but I can't do it. It was time to move up, move on, bring in a younger group. Sometimes we may not like it. You got to bring it. Well, that's ageism and all that. Listen, we can call it that, but deep down, if the Lord told us no, that means no. What do you do when the Lord tells you no? Do you try to get somebody else to do it for you? So we can get in and say, yeah, we got this. Look at what we did. You really think that honors God? It doesn't. If the Lord tells us no, it's no. We just got to be able to hear that. And sometimes people don't want to hear it because their desires are higher than the promises. There are sometimes we may cry out in desperation towards him because we may feel like the Lord, this storm needs to stop in my life. Why am I in this storm for so long? Maybe because you haven't learned your lesson yet. That goes over big. Maybe God is teaching you humility. Maybe the Lord is teaching you patience. Maybe the Lord is teaching you to just trust in him, in his timing. And you wouldn't, and the thing is that when we yield ourselves to him, it's like, that didn't take very long afterwards. It's like, what took me so long to do that? Right? It's like we're trying to fight it. We're trying to get it. We're trying to do it ourselves. And then once we truly surrender from the heart, it's like, well, that took about a minute. That took about a day for that to happen. But that's really, yeah, that's how long it took for you to actually get yielded to me. submit yourself to him. He says, submit yourself to God and resist the devil. James 4:7, right? It says, therefore, submit yourself to God. And if you see that word therefore in the Bible, you have to go back up a few scriptures to find out what it's there for. And it's talking about being covetous towards other people. It talks about scheming with envy in order to harm. It's talking about you wanting what you want, so you scheme with envy in order to get it. It talks about these things. And then after all that's said and done, it says, therefore, submit yourself to God and resist the devil. You know why? Because it'll keep you from wanting to do that against your neighbor. It'll keep you from wanting to steal chickens out of somebody else's yard. I don't know who does that. When I was younger, my uncle, he just passed away. He had chickens in his backyard. And we would take these little rocks and throw them at the chickens to make them just... And one of us ended up hitting one. And I don't know if it was me or not, because I didn't really have a good aim. Broke the leg. And he lined us all up. Who broke my chicken leg? Who hit my... Man, we didn't. We did not rat each other out. Thank God we didn't get a whooping. Because I don't know about you, but I come from a family like, if your aunt and uncle saw you doing something, they whipped you too. Y'all grew up in that? Or was that just me? Pastor Tim, why do you keep talking about storms? I said, well, I'll keep talking about it if the Lord puts it on my heart. Because every time I do, somebody ends up saying, man, you just read my mail today. You were dealing with stuff. I said, you just hit on stuff that you was just talking about, that I was just talking about. I said, yeah, I'm not the only one. I'm not talking about my storm. It's just something that's in me. Because we all go through it. Sometime or another, we're going to be in it. But there's more than life than just keeping our eye on the storm. It's to keep our eye on Jesus. You know, it's like, I'm going to keep talking about it until we catch on to it. Until we can master that. So if it does come, it's like, oh, goody. Another one. I'm ready for it. You know, there's two basketball players, professional basketball players. I think it was one was Kobe. And please don't quote me on this. I think the other one was Kawhi Leonard. And Kobe was trying to teach Kawhi Leonard, you know, some of his moves and stuff like that. And he thought it was going to be this, just all these drills and stuff like that. No, he worked on one drill. Just a fadeaway, turnaround fadeaway. He thought he was going to work on all this other stuff. It's like, no. We're going to do this until you master it. And a lot of times we just want to do all this other stuff and we don't ever want to master anything. Let's get this down. Mountain comes in our life. Let's master that. Let's overcome that with our words and with our faith in Jesus. So any mountain that comes, we don't panic. We don't cry out in that sense. We speak too. We don't talk about, we speak too. Let's master that. Because our faith was not made for the ordinary. It was not created for us in our ordinary lives, in our everyday lives, and in that sense. It was made for the impossible. So if we're living by faith, we are living supernaturally. I believe it was Andy Womack who I talked about, if we're not living if our life ain't supernatural, superficial. It's something different. It's a whole nother level. Trusting in God. Yeah, that might be a foundational thing, but how often do we do it? Because if we did it, we wouldn't panic. Come on. It's not enough just to hear the word. We have to put it into practice, getting a revelation of God's word and meditating on it day and night and making sure we apply it to our lives will help us to draw closer in difficult times. And when we do that, we can make our way prosperous and successful. It doesn't mean that God is going to make your way. He told Joshua, meditate on my word day and night. And be careful to do everything written in it. And you will make your way prosperous and successful. God wants us reading his word. He wants us spending time in it. He wants us meditating on it. He wants us to get that revelation, because that revelation is going to help clear some things out in our life. So when you speak, it obeys you. Yeah, okay, I got to memorize a whole chapter. No, you don't memorize one verse. Don't just memorize it, meditate on it. Get a revelation of that verse. And when you've tested and tried it, improved it, go on the next one. Do the same thing with that one. What race are you in? I gotta outdo Chris over here, man. He knows a lot, so I gotta read and read and read and read and never maintain anything because he knows a lot. No, I'm gonna just work on this one right here. Fade away. I'm a master that. We gotta master that. Faith is not about reading the word and then expecting people to do what you want them to do. We read it, we study it, apply it, speak it out when we have to. And you have to understand something here. The enemy, he is under your feet. He's under your feet. Enemy's riling up, stirring up stuff. He's under your feet. You wake up in the morning, he's under your feet. What you scared of? I'm not afraid. You know, the Bible says that the fear of man is a snare. Should never fear anyone, especially Satan. He's defeated. All he can do is just rile it up, put thoughts in your mind just so you can go at each other. But we have to get ourselves submitted to the one who has given us this authority. There's no other name under heaven given by man by which we must be saved. That's Acts 4:12. There is no other name under heaven given by man by which we must be saved. No other name. So when you're in that storm, who are you calling out to? You calling that friend or you calling Jesus? Who are you calling out to? A lot of times we'll call other people. We'll talk to other people. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but they can't save you. Jesus is your Savior. He's your Lord and Savior. They can't save you. We cry out to Jesus. We call out to Jesus. We use the name of Jesus. You don't do things in the name of Pastor Tim. He said this. No. It's the Word. It's the Word of God. We are not here to exalt any person's name. Not the nunneries. I love the pros, but not the pros. And not even the Oakleys. He's been here for 40 years. We don't exalt. It's the name of Jesus. Y'all offended by that? Okay. Because you know I love you. Brother from another mother. But it's the name of Jesus. Well, Pastor Tim said this. If Pastor Tim is saying what God is saying, leave Pastor Tim out of it. Because my name ain't going to break wind. It's the name of Jesus. That's what we speak. That's who we call on. That's who we seek after. Sometimes we have to be honest with ourselves. We don't want to learn our lesson when we go going through stuff. We just want it to be done and get it over with. But your faith has to be developed, tried, and tested. Have you ever heard that expression with a rubber band? A rubber band don't work unless it's stretched. Serves some purpose. It's got to be stretched. Not too much, because then it snaps. But, you know, it's got to be stretched. Yes, I don't know about you. I said Brandon been working out since the beginning of the year, right? Down about 40 now. 30-some. I said, that's good. That's real good. I was on my way to Tulsa. My wife was done. We were dieting. We were doing good. We were eating well and stuff like that. Stopped on by Salina. I saw Panera Bread. I said, babe, I had to do it. I seen a chicken bacon avocado sandwich that I just had to get. It was calling my name. Come and get me. And then she goes, you shouldn't have told me that. I went off my stuff too. I was like, yeah, okay. That was my fault. That was my fault. I should have kept that to myself. But sometimes we get in the weight room, and I don't know about you, being out of shape, pick up a few pounds and doing the dumbbells and stuff, and then we have the audacity to look in the mirror. Yeah. You pumped it about 5 times and we're like, yeah, look at the gains. No. You didn't do nothing. I was in my room one time. And, you know, I got 3 steps I go down, and every once in a while I'll try to, you know, I'll jump up on that just to, so I still got it. Then I did like 5 push-ups. Oh, yeah, just easy. I was struggling on those 5, to be honest with you. Then I did some crunches. I'll tell you what, the next week it felt like my chest was on fire. 5 push-ups. I thought I was having a heart attack. I thought I was really going, it's like my chest, I'm like, my, what is going on? Well, I put my muscles to use, so it was there, and it was being broken down. But the reality of it is, it's like it can't be built up unless it's broken down. And we can't be built up unless God breaks us down with the word. He loves us, he'll discipline us with his word. He'll correct us with his word. He will chasten us with his word. He doesn't put sickness on us. He doesn't put disease on us. Don't ever say, anybody say that? Correct them right there. That's not God. Jesus died for that. You don't have to be sick. He died for that. Get your gains. What's that slogan that they had in the 80s? No pain, no gain. Yeah, no pain, no gain. Matthew 8:23 says this. Then Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. Can you stay on 23 for a little bit? I'm going to talk each verse, kind of like I used to do. I know I go everywhere, but just bear with me. If you need help, Andy's right there. He'll help you. You know, it's important to know this one thing when facing a storm. Make sure the one you are getting in the boat with is Jesus. You have family, you have friends, you have your favorite blankie, anybody still got a binky or whatever? I mean, just a security blanket. Please don't tell me that. You are 58 years old. You don't need a security blanket anymore. Let it go. Your comfort food, your drink, you got your cop, what have you, you got your Snuggie. All the things that make you comfortable, but the one you truly need when you are going through something is Jesus. Make sure he's in the boat when you're going through that storm. See, even when it seems like you are not getting what you want, you still have Jesus. So if things don't work out the way you plan, you still have Jesus. The door of opportunity was slammed in your face, but you still have Jesus. And if being in a relationship with him doesn't bring a smile on your face every single day, then you might be focused on the wrong thing. We used to sing a song back in the church, back in the day, Pentecostal church. I got Jesus, and that's enough. I got Jesus. And that's, we didn't snap our fingers because they'd be like, oh, hey, that's too much. And that's enough. He should be enough. But he does have his word. It's not your responsibility to make someone else happy. And sometimes we try to go out of our way to do that. That's not your responsibility. I said, especially when they have their own relationship with Jesus. If you made him your Lord and Savior, the Spirit of God lives in you. And now these 9 spiritual gifts lives on the inside of you. And one of those is joy. The joy of the Lord is your, come on somebody, strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. He is your strength. It's already a done deal. He is your strength. He's given you that. So everything that can make you uncomfortable, he's given you. And I'm not saying that you can't grow in comfort, but all I'm saying is if the enemy was attacking you, if he was in your home, and he's over here trying to stir up some stuff in your home. I remember the story about Smith Wigglesworth. When he was sleeping, a demon came in his room and just, I think, basically raised the bed up. He got his lamp and, oh, it's just you. Went back to sleep. They didn't bother him. Demon left. Hey, get back in here and straighten the bed out the way it was. My gosh. I understand we don't do it in the name of Smith Wigglesworth, but that's some good stuff. You know, he served the same God as you. He was staying at somebody else's house one night for a weekend or what have you. Ended up leaving. And then they say, oh, you know, the lady said, my son is ill or my husband is ill or what have you. He goes, just put him in my bed. The anointing's still there. It's good. Good to go. You know, I used to do that with my dad. My dad was anointed. And whenever I get sick, and here's the thing, I would literally make myself sick because I didn't want to go to church. That's how often I did it. Then, of course, that didn't work because they say, well, call the elders up and they'll pray for you. I couldn't even get out of that. Come on. Cut me a break. Well, I don't have any clothes to wear. We'll fix that. Get your clothes lined out Saturday night. Get them washed, ready to go. I don't have any shoes to wear, okay? We'll go back and get you some shoes. I had all the excuses not to go to church, and not one of them worked. But when I used to make myself sick or what have you, and if I were sick, really, I said, I would get up in his bed and climb in his bed, sleep in there for about an hour or two, get up feeling good. I never knew that was, I mean, say scripture or what have you. I said, I never knew anybody would, has done that before. I never knew who Smith Wigglesworth was. I never knew who Brother Copeland and Kenneth Hagin was until I came here. Some good stuff. But where do you think they got it from? The Word. Ain't no different than you. Come on, somebody. You have the joy of the Lord. Sometimes you have to push through that pain and it hurts because it's necessary for the building up. So when you are facing crazy situations in life that just seem impossible to overcome, just remember that's why God has given you the measure of faith. Faith is made for the impossible. It is made for the impossible, but better yet, faith in God thrives in the impossibility. Your attitude should be, when it comes to another storm, I've been waiting for you. Oh, I like this. Had an older brother that used to pick on me. Swan used to kick my butt all the time. All the time. We had furniture moving fights. When it came to hoops, he beat the mess out of me. But you know what? After I was able to beat him, guess what? Ain't nobody touch me. Come on back. We're going to play again. I had a cousin. I was telling the cousin when I was there, I was like, man, I didn't play basketball for a whole year. Because he's like, if anybody beats you and comes and says they beat you in a game, you ain't got to worry about them. You're going to have to deal with me. That's the one I said, told you that last week, that he had changed his life. Strung out on drugs and stuff. But earlier, I mean, they were just huge football players, man. He goes, if anybody ever tell you that, you're going to have to deal with me. I said, okay. I said, I was so afraid. I didn't play ball for a year. No, thank you. You want to play? No, I'm good. See, the thing is, you can't be afraid to step out and do those things. Because how will you know that you can succeed? You miss 100% of the shots you don't take, right? Wayne Gretzky and Michael Scott. You got to shoot your shot. Verse 24 says, suddenly a fierce storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat, but Jesus was what? Our example in life as sons and daughters always has been, always will be Jesus. He's our example. He says, come unto me, all who are weary. Jesus wants us to learn from him because he never messed up. Some of the old prophets, they messed up. They weren't perfect. Jesus was perfect. He didn't mess up. He's not saying, look to Moses. He's not saying this. He says, look to me. I did it right. How I did it, you go ahead and do it. He was never fazed by what others tried to do to him. A life focused on Jesus rather than what you're going through will help you to sleep at night. You'll be able to sleep through that storm. So who's our example? Jesus, Jesus. And what was he doing during the storm? So why are you up at night if you can't sleep? The problem does not change just because you get into worry. Worry does not mean you care more about what's going on. You got any worriers or warriors? I might sound the same, but there's an A and an O. There's a difference. You're warriors in Christ. So it's important to trust God's timing in the season. And you may have a hard time with that because you like to move fast. I like to get out and go, Lord. I like to do this. And then when everything comes messed up, we get confused and then we turn around and then we blame God for it. We do all the things that we want to do. We're never listening to him. We're not listening when he says stop. We're not listening when he says go or what have you. We're not listening when he says to speak. We're not listening to say, hey, this is a season to be quiet. Don't give out your opinion. Fast your opinion this season. We don't listen to that. And then when he's telling us, then we get into trouble and we're like, God, where are you at? We can't do that. I shared this before, but many years ago, I said, this is a lady who called up the church, and I'm just a young youth pastor and stuff, and thank God that the word was preached here. But the reality of it is that she was blaming God for all the negative junk that was going on in her life. And she's like, I just believe that God is trying to teach me something. I said, well, you probably need to learn your lesson. But if all that stuff was happening in your life as God, I can't pray for you. Because then I'd be praying against what God is doing in your life. Why would I do that? I'd be fighting against God. I ain't nobody. But if it's the devil, we can take our authority in Christ and get after this thing. Well, she didn't like me after that. Why? Because I spoke the truth. And sometimes people don't want to hear the truth. I had coaches tell me, you can't tell somebody that they suck. Contraire mon frère. I'll use Brandon's slogan, don't suck. Well, you got to be nice. I said, I don't have time for that, to just sugarcoat it. I said, but here's the thing. If you want to work out, I will work out with you. If you want to shoot, I will stay after and shoot with you. If you want to do these drills, I will help you to do that. I'm good. All right. God bless you. But don't blame me. And a lot of times people end up blaming God because of the stuff that goes on in their life. And it's like, we don't learn the lesson. We got to learn the lesson. Lord, I thought this is what you wanted me to do. I thought this is where you wanted me to go. I thought this is what you wanted me to say. And you never took the time to ask God if this is where you want me to be, if this is where you want me to go, if this is what you want me to say. Take it from Jesus. You have to learn to rest in the midst of chaos. But you also going to have to learn to operate in the midst of chaos because you just can't stay still. People don't stop praying. When they're going through stuff, you can't stop praying. Sometimes you probably, if you listen to the Lord, do a fast. Get closer to him. In those troubled times, that's where you grow. In those troubled times, that's where you grow. See, but I like to check both sides of that. Some people's comfort zone is making everybody else uncomfortable. You're going to grow in these difficult times in every season and what have you. So you got to get comfortable being uncomfortable. But some people's comfort zone is getting people uncomfortable. So where's their growth? If they're comfortable making everybody else uncomfortable, what? Sit down, be still, shut up, don't do anything. Because they got to move everywhere. No, you stay there. Silence of the land. Silence, silence, silence. Just be quiet. I can't be still. Be still and know that he is God. That's their discomfort right there. That's where they're going to grow, is being still. Where they're trying to get you to grow is making you uncomfortable. They need to learn to be still. And some people don't know how to learn to be still. They don't know how to be still. Where's Satan's comfort zone at? What is his comfort zone? He comes to do what? That's what he knows to do, to sow fear. How do you make him uncomfortable? Use the name of Jesus. Drive him out. Jesus, after this lake right here, after crossing the lake, he runs into Legion. Have you come to torture us before our appointed time? They're outside because they were stirring up a whole lot of drama. And Jesus says, get on out of here. At least send us into a herd of pigs. Why? Because demons need a body to possess. So they'd rather be in pigs if they go anywhere else. And then those pigs went off the cliff. See, the thing is, this is what I'm saying. And Jesus says, watch how I do it. Don't watch the disciples and how they were in a boat. Watch what Jesus was doing. It says the disciples went and woke him up in verse 25, shouting, Lord, save us. We're going down. Out of desperation, they turn to Jesus. Why? Because he is our Savior. There's nothing wrong in our lives when we call out to Jesus. There's nothing wrong with that, to call out to Jesus. There's nothing wrong. But when we're in fear over something that we have authority over, where's your faith? See, what Jesus has, he has already given us through his authority. It doesn't change because what you're going through seems bigger than the last storm. They could have rebuked the storm or slept through it. They had two choices. Imitate Christ and sleep during the storm, or B, rebuke the storm. They chose C. They panicked and cried out to Jesus. And I think way too many times we do C when Jesus wants us to do A or B. This is where we grow up. Jesus respond, why are you afraid? In verse 26, you have so little faith. Then he got up and rebuked the winds and waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. So ask yourself this question. Why am I afraid? What has you so scared that the blood of Jesus won't cleanse, cover, or heal, or restore? You know what? It doesn't matter what it is, because our focus should be on Jesus. He's the author and perfecter of our faith. The author and perfecter of our faith. In this hour, God is pouring out his Spirit on all flesh. So why are you afraid? I'm scared of the rapture. I'm scared of this. Man, I'm getting some potted meat and some Vienna sausages and sardines stocked up and cases of water. Man, I'm just getting ready. Shane is like, ew, that's nasty. Oh, that's some good delicacy right there. Y'all never had potted meat? Sardines and mustard. Fear is a horrible master. but it can be a great motivator for believers to step out in their faith. Because the just shall live by what? So your spiritual growth will always start inside of you before you see it manifest outwardly. I'm saying it, I'm speaking it, I don't see nothing. The seed is in there, continue to water it. See, if you see flowers blooming in somebody else's yard or what have you, or in their life, and when storms are coming and they're just like, they're unshakable. What's going on? I said, they've got deep roots. Your roots aren't developed yet if you're all over the place. Don't worry about it. Don't get all focused. I mean, you know, when people are in conflict and one of them is just focused on your emotion, you don't have deep roots. Because they're more focused. I said, manipulation is blaming somebody for their reaction to your toxic behavior. Listen to what they're saying rather than their reaction. Because if you were to look at Jesus' life and he's flipping over tables, geez, look at that. I mean, that's crazy. Why would you be flipping over tables like that? My goodness, what's got into him? I'm posting this. This is what we do today. Listen. Listen to what they're saying. Listen to what they're speaking, because they're speaking from the heart. My wife and I said, honestly, it's like we've had some blowups. I'm going to be real with you. We've had some blowups, but I love it. You know why? Because she's saying all the stuff that she needed to say that we've never communicated over the years. I like it. You need to cuss me out. Cuss me out. But I love it. Why? There's going to be growth there. You're learning. And then once we fine tune it, you're going to be blooming. So if that ever comes up again, we know exactly what we need to do. This is a learning stage. Put it this way. How many here have been going here for 30 years? Raise your hand. 35. 38. 40. Since the beginning of inception. That is awesome. She's 47 years old. She just celebrated her birthday last Saturday. 47. Now, how many of you who know her heart, ever thought she would be up here saying something? No one, probably. Not even me. But you know what? She has gift. And you know what else? That's my responsibility to protect that. And I would do it at all cost. So I don't have a problem telling somebody no when they want something and when they want to come. I don't have a problem with that. But when you want to blame me and use me as a scapegoat, that I have a problem. I love you. But I got to protect. And I will protect. Hopefully it doesn't come to blows. But I will protect. I think my heart is healed from that. But I will protect. And if people don't understand that, I don't have a problem saying no, thank you. No, not going to happen. Not today. Adios. God bless you. I can say it in many different ways. Nunca. Is that German? No, I don't know. That's never. I guess that's never. So might be Spanish. But I don't have a problem with that. Some people don't like it. God bless you. But I got to protect. Why? Storms. You're in this boat. You're in it together. And as a family, you're in it together as a family. See, if a church family is in it together, if a family within that church is in it together, people can't be in the back of the boat drilling holes. We got to get across this storm. We're for you, man. I don't know why we ain't going. We're taking in water. Where's that coming from? No, be real. I'm going to say things that people don't like. And I'm a quiet person. Introverted to people I don't like. Extroverted to people I like. I don't need to be around people all the time. I'm fine talking to myself. It's just a staff meeting. I'm self-employed. But I have to protect. She's a treasure. In my life is God, my marriage, my family, the church, and the people that God has called us to impact their lives. I don't place somebody else's opinion, their agenda, their life above that. Sometimes when you tell people no, they don't like it. Well, as I always say, you can kick rocks. That always could say. See, sometimes she don't like that. Because y'all know who I'm talking about, right? For the most part. Okay. So, 11:35. Verse 27 says this, the disciples were amazed. Who is this man? They asked, even the winds and waves obey him. So I'm asking you, if the winds and waves obey Jesus, will they obey you? If the mountain obeys you, Jesus' voice, he can speak to the mountain, what have it removed, will it obey your voice? Absolutely. You got to say that with confidence. It will obey your voice. The enemy's job is to get you to doubt that. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. And make sure you do this stuff in God's timing, not in ours, his timing. When you rush it, just ends up, you're going to be frustrated. If you like living that life, God bless you. But if you rush it, there's going to be a lot of confusion. Do it in his timing and do it boldly. And even when you get pushback from the enemy, continue to go after it. Stay behind it. Some people will act like as if they're for you, but then at the same time, they'll tell you to give it up. When you know good and well the Lord has spoke to you. You don't necessarily need that. You don't need to go there. You don't need to be praying for that. That situation is dead. No need to have faith in God. No. I'm going to stay with this. I'm going to stay with this word. This is his promise, what have you. I'm going to stick with this. And you stick with it with everything you got, even if you're the only person on the face of this planet trusting in the Lord, you don't back down. Y'all happy? Come on. Y'all know what I'm going to say next. Tell your face. If you're happy, tell your face. Well, let's stand. Hallelujah. Madison says she's okay. All right, we don't need prayer. Okay. Hallelujah. If there's anyone here today that's been dealing with a lot of fear in their life right now, and you need prayer, just raise your hand real quick and we'll pray with you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. To get us out of our comfort zone and to help us grow. I want you to go find somebody in this church family, and speak what the Lord has put on your heart to speak. So be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and say what the Lord has put on your heart to say to them. Amen. Be bold enough to do it. All right.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.